Bluetooth your phone?
No. Just an old-fashioned recorder, but it's good quality.
Yeah, Matt, I have one of those. It's got a better because it doesn't take space on your phone.
Correct. Okay, so welcome back. It's been a while, but Mirza Hashem will get back to weekly shiurim, maybe every other week, but more consistently now. Okay. So, today's topic, if you look at the top, is Gmail unsend, foot in mouth, and toch de dibur. Welcome. Yeah, so for anybody who was here last Friday night, I did a Dvar Halacha, and some of what I'm going to talk about in here is what I mentioned there, so it will be a good chazara for you. Okay.
WhatsApp, but you deleted it.
Exactly.
They give you 7 minutes, though, after 7 minutes.
There you go. Okay. So, last week in the Parsha, Parsha's Yisro, welcome.
Thank you, Josh.
Nice to meet you. We read about the revelation of Hashem at Har Sinai, and many miracles occur there. It was a miraculous event, right? And one of the miracles that Chazal talk about, which we mention every Friday night in Lecha Dodi, is Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echa nemru, that Hashem said the words Shamor and Zachor in connection to the mitzvah of Shabbos in the Aseres HaDibros in the same second. Something that us mortal humans cannot do. Right? We can't say two words in 1 second. We have to space it out. But if you think about it, there actually is an amazing concept in halacha which does allow us to say two words in one unit of time. And what is that? What's that concept? You already know. Right. So the concept of toch kedei dibor, kedibor dami. Were you here Friday night?
No, I was here, but my kid.
You weren't mentally.
Yeah,
that's fine. I'll forgive you. Next time. Okay, so the concept of toch kedei dibor, kedibor dami.
Give me 20 years.
which, if you translate it in a very simple way, means we can do something, and then if we take it back within a few seconds after doing it, it's as if we never did the original thing. That's one example. So let's think of a classic example. During Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're supposed to end the third bracha of Shemona Esrei. Instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaKadosh, what are we supposed to say? HaMelech HaKadosh, right? And invariably, it's happened to probably all of us, we forget, right? Because we're used to saying Hakel HaKadosh, so we forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh. So what happens? You get up to the bracha and you say Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaKadosh, HaMelech HaKadosh, right? So you remember within a few seconds and you change and you say HaMelech HaKadosh. So that actually works. And we consider it in Halacha as if you never said the words Hakel HaKadosh and you really made the bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh, right? Mm-hmm. So if you stop to think of it, I mean, we take it as a given because we're used to this and it's come up in our learning and it's part of our halachic system. But if you stop and think about it, it's an amazing concept. You could do something, and we'll see that it even applies to ma'asim, to actually doing actions. It's not just saying things. You could do something, and if you realize you made a mistake, or you take it back within a few seconds, it's as if it never happened. It's amazing, right? Yeah, please.
You're saying that Tokhidei Dibur is only to take something back, but during when you talk about Eidim Zohar, and you have the concept of each Eid has to give the Eid to talk to the Eid of one another. But
perfect.
It's not saying that one is going to go ahead and take away from the other. It's adding on.
Perfect. So you're getting to the end of the shiur, right? So toch de dibur can also manifest. It's not just doing something and then taking it back. We'll see that it's a more broad concept, which is that two things that happen within a few seconds of one another are considered connected. Basically one thing. Correct. So we're going to give examples where that comes up.
It's a connector and a replacer.
Exactly. So let's look at...
So if we take... Lashon Hara and took it back, is that...
That's hilarious. My wife asked me the same question. She's like, is this a plan of Lashon Hara, right? That happens a lot, right? You say something,
guys,
you're like,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's exotic. Right. I hope you say no offense, but... Right.
So then you know somebody's going to say something offensive.
Right, exactly.
it's a good question. It actually does manifest in many areas of halacha. I'm not sure right now if it actually applies to Lashon Hara, but yeah, that's a very good question. But let's think about it for a second, because it's an amazing concept, right, that we could take something back, and it's as if it never happened.
Does it apply to if you say that wrong bracha or something?
Yes, yes. So that was
back,
so that was the example we just gave, right? You ended the bracha.
Say the bracha, right? Don't say that.
So that's if you didn't need to make a bracha, right? But if you let's say you're making a bracha on a food and you make the wrong bracha, if you realize within a few seconds, you could then say the ending of the correct bracha.
I do that.
Yeah. So again, so we'll see at the end exactly, but as long as you do it within, let's say, 2 to 3 seconds, it should be okay. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, what if we had this concept in our daily relationships, right? It would be amazing. Right? It wouldn't work, but let's say, right, a husband, and you heard this Friday night, but let's say a husband comes home after a rough week, right, he's looking forward to a delicious Friday night meal, and he sits down, and he starts eating, and he's eating the chicken, and that's not exactly what he imagines. He turns to his wife, and he says, honey, the chicken is really overdone. I mean, the potatoes are amazing, right? And the wife says, thank you. Right? And it's as if he never even said the thing about the chicken, right? Amazing. So, unfortunately, we don't have this in our relationships. Maybe, you know...
I think you do.
Maybe we could implement this in our homes. That would be nice. Yeah, you think we do have a...
You do. I mean, if you really do say something to a kedibur, you can look like you made a mistake.
Even not halakhic.
Yeah, I mean, copy people will not...
Right, right. I mean, people can understand if you took it back right away,
or
then
you slipped,
clearly
you
didn't...
You said
right.
You slipped,
well, what does psychology say? Right. What's that first trigger?
So we'll get into that, okay? Welcome. So let's look at the actual Gemara, which talks about the concept of Tokte Diba. Okay, so look at source 1. Do we have more? I'm not sure. Okay, so look at source 1. Okay, this is the Gemara in Nedarim. And this is actually what Yitz mentioned, right? That this is something where it's not that you're taking something back, but it's actually something's happening. Two things are happening within a few seconds of one another, and halachically we view them as connected. Okay, so what's the case here? Misha yeshlo chola besoch beso, vinisale. If you have a very sick person, a very sick relative in your home, and they get worse, their condition worsens, and they're about to die. Yochumeduma shemes vikara. So you're the healthy relative. You know your pick any relative that you would have to close relative, and he or she's in the other room, and they're very close to death. And then you know, I don't know. You hear them coughing, whatever. Something happens, and you think that they died. And what do you do in halacha right after a person dies? You're supposed to tear your clothing. It's called kriya. So you think they died, you tear kriya, and then you realize that they really haven't died. They're still alive while you're tearing kriya. But then, a few seconds later, within toch de dibor, they do die. So the question is, you really tore your clothing before they died, because they were actually alive when you originally tore. But they died within a few seconds of when you actually tore. So do you have to go back and do kriya again, or does that kriya actually work for your halachic chiyuv? So says the Gemara, va'acha kach meis. So if you tore kriya and then he died, lo yatzei de kriya, you're not yotzei. But what does the Gemara say? Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yishu ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, lo shanu ela shemeis la'acha k'dei dibor. When are you not yotzei your chiyuv kriya? If the person died after toch de dibor of when you actually tore. Aba besoch de dibor, if he died within a few seconds after you tore your garment, kedibor dami. We view it as if those two things are connected, and it says if you tore after he died. Right? Even though practically you tore before he died, but it's within a few seconds. So we view it halachically as if you tore within that time. The hilchos and halacha is, like this Gemara says, toch de dibor, kedibor dami. Except, the Gemara gets four exceptions, okay?
Purposely also?
What's purposely?
Let's say, for example...
If you accidentally tear, like you rip your... You get your shirt stuck on a nail or something?
No,
that's what you're saying?
Let's say I see some food and I take it and I put it in my mouth and then I take a bite and then when they talk to the people are like, bracha, is it like I make a bracha and how does that work out in that situation?
That's another good question, I'm not sure. You're saying, is it only if you made a wrong one and then you go back and change it, or is it maybe if you didn't even make it to begin with? It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. I would think there, maybe
you
not,
would
that,
but would apply to everything.
Apply to everything, right?
Four, no?
Correct, right. So we're not going to get into. I mean, I could give a whole shiur just on the halachic parameters, but the Gemara gives four exceptions, and there are other exceptions in halacha, which
this sounds
we
like
can
like
talk
time,
about.
It's a time machine. Now. You did something. and it comes
and you go back.
Right. Relevant to right. Later.
So let's see. We're going to get into the mechanism of how it works, and that's where the psychology comes in. So let's see the four exceptions. So what does the Gemara say? Toch de dibor ki dibor dami. Chutz, except for four exceptions. Megadev, oved avodos kochavim, umekadesh, umegaresh. Right, so what's megadev?
You're speaking about this last
Friday night. Yeah, very good. You're listening.
Trying.
Right, that's what I talked about. It'll be some of it a chazara. So what's megadev? You know what megadev is?
Person.
Right, right. And you curse Hashem, right. Oved avodos kochavim, you worship idols, right? Umekadesh, what's mekadesh?
Marriage.
Right, you get married, right? You marry a girl. Umegaresh, or you divorce.
Right.
Okay, so those are the four exceptions where toch de dibur would not work, i.e. if I marry a woman, right? Hariat mekudesh asli, and then a few seconds later I said, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I got cold feet. I really don't want to go through with this. That would not work, okay? So make sure before you get married, you really think through it, okay? Because you don't even have toch de dibur.
Make sure it's her.
The ring?
Not the ring. They pick up the
veil?
Yeah.
Yeah, to make sure it's her. Correct.
Good idea.
So look at source two, okay?
Isn't there another, like, wouldn't you say another case? Like, if you have someone who's being a guy or someone to become a gear, you can't make the bracha before you go into the mikvah because you're not a Jew.
You're not a Jew, so you have to do it.
Case.
So that you think you make the bracha as you're being tova, I think.
No,
I make the bracha after. Yeah.
I'm saying if you're gonna like the concept of kedidi, where it's like let's say doing something beforehand, after.
Right, right. So you're mentioning another concept in halacha, which is ba'in ke'echad. Right. We have these things where you need concept A to happen before B, but you can't do B until you have. You can't do A until you have B. So there's this halachic mechanism. Like an eved needs to be kone, something to be freed, but he can't be kone while he's still an eved, so we say ban kachas, his yad, his ability to be kone, and his freedom comes somehow. Yeah, so it's a related concept. Yeah, and I'm sure it has a lot of similarities to toch de dibur also. So let's see source 2. Okay, so source 2, the Ran on the Daf in Adarim explains why these four are exceptions. So says the Ran, source 2, v'lo yadana maishna hani. Why are these four cases different? How did Chazal know that these four cases were exceptions? So listen to what he says, an amazing concept. By most things people do on a daily basis, which are not so significant, right? I make a bracha, I go, I do my thing, whatever. He doesn't do those things with full das, fully processing what he's doing, right? And we know this. We do a lot of things sort of very rotely and haphazardly and within habit. We don't really think deeply about every little thing that we do.
90% of what a person does throughout their daily activities, subconsciously, it's not even something.
Right, they're not thinking, exactly, right. So it could be that's what the Ran means. Eladaito shiyachol achzer bo toch de dibor. Since he's not really thinking about it, so he sort of had, he knows he has that loophole that like I could take it back within a few seconds because I didn't deeply think through it. Aval hani, these four exceptions came in the chamiri kulehai, since they're really significant things. You don't just do these four things on a whim, right? You don't marry, hopefully, you don't get married, you know, on a whim. Oh, I see this girl, I'm going to marry her, and divorce for sure. Now you should try to, you know, work it out. And even being Oved Avodos Kochavim or Megadev, if it's not this very quick action that we do without thinking, all these four things, you really think through them deeply and you plan them and you deliberate. So once you're at the point where you're taking these actions, you've thought through it. And therefore, you don't do it without fully thinking. And therefore, the concept of Toch de Dibur Kedibur Dami would not apply to these cases because you have thought through these. Right? So that's what the Ran says. Since these four things are very significant actions, ein adam oso sam ella baskama gemura. You will think through them and you will make a fully informed and thoughtful decision.
He's like it's a double, it's like a triple, it's a double subconscious. He's like when you're doing things that are subconscious, there's a subconscious in your mind that you want to go back and do it.
That you might want to take it back. Right.
Where you want to go back and be Gomer B'daita, you want to actually focus on it. Is that what he's saying?
You're talking about other actions, yeah. When you do most nice
works,
Diva, right?
Because when you're doing something and you know you're subconscious, you're not doing. I mean, you're doing it, but you know it's like you're not really doing it. So in your mind, in your subconscious, you want to go back and do.
Right, or you leave yourself that leeway to be able to go back. Right, right. So we'll look at
Inception.
You dream within a dream.
Okay. I'm not familiar,
it's a dream within a dream.
Like, okay. So let's keep going,
it's
okay?
Like the new Yeshivish classic, and it's the one that's up there.
So that's that's how the Ran explains the concept of Tochtei Dibur, okay? So look at source 3. It says the Chasam so fair. He says, really? Is that what the Ran means? That almost most things we do, let's say except for these four things, we do without thinking? Right? That's not giving us so much credit. Right, so says the Chasam Sofer. He says, we could skip the first line. Actually, start on the first line. Ubezeh hisparti divrei Ran ben Adarim shekasav de mishum hachi ein moel toch kede dibor bekidushin vegerushin mishum de davar gadol keze ein adam osa ela achar yishuv hadas vihisbonenus, that these four things people put a lot of thought into it and consider it and make an informed decision. So it says the Chasam Sofer. His way of explaining this is very hard to understand. Is the Ran saying that basically halacha gives us this way out because we do most things without thinking about them? That's not giving us a lot of credit, right? Okay, so maybe it's true. Many of us do things without thinking. But you're going to say that almost everybody in the world does most things without thinking. The Chasam Sofer wants to give us more credit, basically. Okay? So he says... Sorry?
That's true.
That's true. So says the Chasam Sofer, he says, that's not what the Ran means. He doesn't mean that most actions are done without thinking. What the Ran means, and again, you could debate this, I'm not sure, it seems that's what the Ran is saying, but the way the Chasam Sofer learns the Ran is this. He says, Yireli, look at the third line. Yireli, the fourth word, Yireli. The Savar Le Ha De Dibur Hasheni Mevatel Dibur Harishon Hainu Me Hai Taima. This is what the Ran means. The Anan Sahadi, there's an assumption, Ein Miderech B'nei Adam Lehisnachem Berega K'meimra Mimasha Asa. People don't immediately regret what they do, right? Most things we do in life, we do them, and that's it. We don't immediately say, oh, I didn't mean to do that, or that's wrong. So in these, not the four exceptions, but in cases where you do go back and you regret what you just did within a few seconds, umidechazinan dehadar bay, so in a case where you do go back within a few seconds, shma mina, that shows you digam diburo harishon lo hayalibo imo. It's showing you, like Rabbi Steinman mentioned before, maybe it's a Freudian slip, it shows you that what you originally said or did was not really thought out, and you didn't really mean it, because otherwise you wouldn't have gone back within a few seconds. And when you show us that what you originally did really wasn't with a full thought process, lo mikri dvarim shebelev, ela kulanu yodim shelo haya diburo harishon dibur muchlat, im haskamas halev. Really, what that shows is that your original intention, your original maisa, was not with your full haskamas halev, amachshava. V'chosh adam oseh b'li lev ein bo mamish ze tam chazares tochte dibor laharan. So
definitely made me feel a lot better.
Correct. So in a nutshell, the Chasam Sofer says, no, most things we do, seemingly, maybe we don't think it out fully, but it's not that we do it without thinking at all. In the select cases where you immediately go back right after you did something and you say, oh, I didn't mean to do that, or oh, that was a mistake, that shows that the original thing that you did wasn't
thought through. So Tolkien Eber is not like a mechanism that every time, like we think the Ron's saying, like, every time you can use Tolkien Eber because your whole life is a space out. He's saying this when you, Tolkien Eber sounds more of like a knee-jerk reaction, and therefore that's already an indicator that you didn't have that kavan originally.
Correct. Right. He's not going with the... Meaning, you could, the first way is sort of looking at it in a lechatchila way. Lechatchila, I could always use tochtei dibur to take back whatever I did, and therefore I can go through life without thinking and without considering what I'm doing. No, it's the opposite. It's that when you do regret what you did in those specific cases, which are not most of the cases, then it shows that you weren't thinking through it. Okay. So that's one approach to how Tochtei Dibur works. So how does that manifest in psychology? So it seems from what the Ran is saying, and also the Chasam Sofer, that we don't always think through what we're going to say or what we're going to do. Right? I'm sure all of us could think of examples where we said something or we did something, and then a few seconds later, or maybe a few minutes later, we thought, I really shouldn't have done that. I really shouldn't have said that. Right?
You have a whole conversation for an hour on the phone. You think up, you think of all this stuff.
You shouldn't have said it like that. Correct. Exactly. So researchers, so look at source four. So there's a whole area of research in linguistics, how people speak, how the brain processes speech, how it forms speech. So in this particular study, the researchers wanted to know, do you actually think before you speak? Or do you sort of sometimes speak without thinking and then only after you process what you've said?
You say,
right?
Conscious thinking?
You don't have to get that specific.
How is it possible not, even subconscious thinking, how is it possible to not subconsciously think about
it? So you're saying there's obviously some brain activity going on because then you can't speak.
Yeah.
Right. No, so what we mean is conscious thought.
This is saying it's both, I think. From what I read, I just read it.
I would say individuals. I
agree with what Source 4 is saying. That it's saying, in the first part, it's saying that it's. Sorry, I don't need this to jump ahead.
No.
It's a conscious level. People plan what they're going to say before they say it.
Right.
But even now, like I'm doing this, I had an idea what I would say. But as you're speaking, you're hearing yourself, you come up with new things to say.
Right. So one article that I looked at said you plan like the beginnings of your sentence,
right,
but then
right.
as you're saying the sentence, you sort of are planning the end of the sentence. So usually when we speak, we don't have the whole sentence planned out
right.
in our head.
Right.
We have like
right.
an outline of what we're going to say.
Right. Yes, and again,
improvisation.
Right, and obviously it depends on the setting, right? If I'm having a deep, meaningful conversation, then I probably have thought through specific sentences or things to say. If I'm just having a casual conversation, then I'm probably doing that. Mm-hmm. That processing while I'm talking, right?
So what does it mean that you regret what you said, though, if you said it? Really?
No, hold on. So let's see this research study, okay? So what they did is they took people, and is anybody familiar with the Stroop test?
Stroop.
Stroop test, yeah.
Stroop test.
So it's a classic psychological test of self-control, of trying to inhibit your natural impulses, and it's where you have words on a page, and they're in color.
Yeah.
And let's say the word red is written in blue ink.
Yeah.
And so you have to say the color of the ink and not read the word. Because when we see a word, our brain automatically reads the word. So when you see red, your brain automatically says red. But if your task is to name the ink color, right, the word red is written in blue, then you have to sort of control your natural impulse and say blue, okay? And it's fascinating. I've given this test many times, and you see the kids that really have a hard time controlling their impulses, really have a hard time with these tests. Like, you really see it play out.
They'll say red, but they'll blur out red.
Yeah, they'll just, like, blur out all the... what the word says and not the color. Exactly. So what they did is they gave people this test, and then they gave them headphones, and each time they said the color, they had what they said played into them through the headphones. Right? So I see the word red on the page. It's written in blue ink. I say blue, and then I hear myself saying blue through the headphones. Okay? So hold on. So now, where it gets interesting, so what they wanted to see, because their hypothesis was that sometimes we don't think about what we're going to say before we say it, and we only process it because we hear, after we say it, what we say. So like, I say something, and then I hear in my mind what I just said, and then I fully realize what I just said. So what they did is every few words, instead of playing back to you the actual word you said, they played a different color. Maybe like the word color. So again, back to our example, the word red is written in blue ink, okay? So I'm supposed to say blue, because I'm supposed to name the ink color. And every time I did that, the headphones I would hear myself saying blue. But once every five times, I would hear the headphones saying red. It would be my voice saying red. So it's not what I actually said. I would say blue, but I would hear myself saying red. And they wanted to know, can people catch themselves on those when they insert the wrong word. And if they could catch themselves, that means they've done some thinking about what they're going to say before they said it. Because if I'm thinking, I'm going to say blue, and then I hear myself saying red, then I'm like, no, that's not what I said. But if we only process what we just said by hearing ourselves say it after we say it, then if I hear myself say red, so I think I said red. Right, right. So it's fascinating. So what they realized is that in many cases, people actually did make a mistake, and they thought that they said the word that was the wrong word that was played into their headphones, and not the word that they actually said. So I actually said the word blue, but I heard myself saying red, and then they asked, and then it popped on the screen, "What word did you just say?" And people would say red. Right? Fascinating. So what we see from science, and again, this is, I think, what the Ron is saying, is that we don't always think through things before we say it. And sometimes it does take us a second or two to process what we just said, because we sort of hear ourselves, the way we make sense of what we said is we hear ourselves saying it right after, and then we're like, oh, that's what I said. Okay?
So if we're not having voices in our ear, then when we say something, what's processing us to say it first?
We're hearing the sound. Meaning, I just said sound.
I still have the thought to say that word, right?
Right. But sometimes we use what we just heard ourselves say to more, sort of make sense of what we just said.
So they had the first words come out of your mouth before you thought about...
No. So as we said, obviously there has to be some level of process. You can't just speak without thinking it up.
It's not a gemar daito. I mean, it's like a gemar daito is
correct. The point is that there's some aspect of our talking which we only process after. That's what I want to pull out from the study. That there's some aspect which we only process after we do it or after we say it. Okay.
So saying if there would develop something where I talk but not hear my own words, then conversation won't really get too far.
You're saying because you're not processing what you said. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Doesn't each individual, though, change?
Of course. Yeah, this is not, you know.
If you talk to my younger brother, you clearly realize he only processes what he said after he said it.
There you go. Such love for your brother. Okay, so let's keep going, okay? So that's one approach to Tochtei Dibur, that we don't fully think through what we're doing and saying before we do it. And that's actually played out in the research, that there's some processing that goes on after we do something or after we say something.
But there are those people that, they're thinking of what they want to talk, they want to tell you something, they want to tell you, a story of what just happened to them today, and they know what they want to say, but some people just can't put it into words, and, they don't use complete sentences, so when they say it, you don't know what they're saying, because, they're trying to tell you the story, but they can't tell you, because... They think they're saying it in their head, but they're not bringing it out in complete sentences.
Right. So sometimes we can't verbalize exactly what we're thinking. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No. It takes a lot of skill and a lot of thought to really verbalize exactly what you're thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's keep going. Okay. So now we're going to look at a different approach, which also has a fascinating psychological parallel. So look at source 5. So source 5. So this is the Rama. The Rishon on Bava Basra. So he explains this a little differently, like we said before. He says it's nothing to do with when you do something, when you say something, you don't fully think through it, and you only process it after you do it. He says, no. Look at source 5. He says, Imhaya ha'acharon b'toch te'dibor the Rishon. If you said one thing and then you said another thing to take it back within toch te'dibor, Kitchilas dibur dami. It's as if the second statement is basically the beginning of your statement. V'roin es ha'acharon. We view the second or the last statement ki'ilu namar onasa im harishon, as if it's done with the first thing. Bibas achas, in one unit of time, as we talked about before, right? Bain ke'echa. This concept of one unit of time, one instance of things happening, oh, take after the Rishon, or immediately after the first one, below Shehiya, or below Hafsek, without any pause. Okay? So he says it's more of a time concept, that we tend to think of the world in units of seconds, right? Or usually we think in seconds or minutes, right? We don't go down to milliseconds, right? We usually think in seconds. So for us, the smallest unit of meaningful time is a second, right? So says the Yarama, no, in Halacha, you have a concept that even if something happens within a second or two of another thing, halachically, that's viewed as 1 second, right? So I say HaKel HaKadosh, and then immediately I say HaMelech HaKadosh, So, yeah, well, you said it a second later. You said a second later. But halachically, that three-second window is considered one halachic second, and therefore whatever, let's say, was happening at the end of that halachic second, which is really 3 seconds, is what we consider valid in halacha. Okay? So this seems like a more abstract concept, right? We understand the Ran that we don't fully process things, and so this seems more of an abstract concept that we sort of have these 3 second intervals which halachically, you know, come out as 1 second. But you'll see from the psychological research that this is actually true in human functioning. So let's see source 6. So how long is tochtei dibur? So I've been saying 2-3 seconds. It's unclear exactly how many seconds, but the Gemara gives a shear. What's the shear for tochtei dibur? Right. Shalom alecha, Rebbe Umori. The time it takes to greet one's Rebbe, which is Shalom alecha, Rebbe Umori. If you were here Friday night, I mentioned the Rambam paskins Shalom alecha, Rebbe, and there's different approaches to why the Rambam paskins like that, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins Shalom alecha, Rebbe Umori. So, again, I haven't seen any modern halachic sfarim talk about the actual seconds, like if it's 2 or 3 or 1.8, I don't know. I don't think anybody says 4. No, for sure not 15. Oh, and let me actually, so remember from Friday night, there's actually a question in halacha if that time period is objective, right? There's an objective how long it takes to say those 4 words, or maybe it's subjective. If I'm a slow talker, and it takes me a while to say Shalom, Alecha, Rebbe, Mori, right? That's like 4 seconds. If I'm a, I don't know, they still have micro machines? Remember when you were a kid? Micro machines were these like tiny toys, and the ads that they had on radio and TV was this guy speaking like super fast. He was like, brruh, brruh. He would speak like, I don't know, it was pretty amazing. Little toys, like little like cars, whatever. So if you're like the micro machines guy and you speak super quickly, so it probably takes you 1.5 seconds exactly. So that's actually a question in halacha. We paskin it's objective. It's an objective shear. We don't say it's based on your own rate of speech. But either way, it's about, let's say it's 2 to 3 seconds, okay? So look at this. So look at the last source, source 7. And I'm sorry that Shlomi's not here because it's actually research from London. But hopefully he could listen to this and appreciate it. So they did some research in London, and they went back and looked at research from a long, long time ago. And they say cross-cultural studies dating back to 1911, I guess they were doing this research even then, have shown that people tend to operate in 3-second bursts. Right? So how does that actually play out? Goodbye waves, musical phrases, an infant's bounce of babbling and gesturing all last about 3 seconds. And it goes even further than that. Many basic physiological events, such as relaxed breathing, certain nervous system functions, those also have this 3-second window. And so, says developmental psychologist, I don't know how to say this name, Emis Nagy, of the University of Dundee in the United Kingdom, he says, what we have is broad research showing that we experience the world in about 3-second time frames, right? That's sort of like the unit of human functioning. Things, a lot of basic things happen in this 3-second window. And then he goes even further. The results reinforce an idea current among some psychologists that intervals of 3 seconds are basic temporal units of life that define our perception of the present moment. It's amazing, right? That's exactly what the Rama is saying is the basis for tochtei dibur, right? We view this 3-second time period as one unit of measurement for our experience. And therefore, if I'm able to take back what I said in that 3-second window, then we view that in halacha as one unit of time, right? Amazing. One psychologist called the feeling of nowness, right? Like something happens and you feel like it just immediately happened, that lasts for about 3 seconds. After about 3 seconds, then there's something that happens in your brain which says this happened in the past, but it's not happening now. So that's also, right, we sort of feel what happens in the moment for about 3 seconds. It lasts for about 3 seconds. And it's amazing, right, because we have this concept of istaka baraisa ubara alma, that we think that many things in the world, you know, parallel Torah, but really it's the opposite, that Hashem looked at the Torah, He looked at Halacha, and He created our physical universe based on the principles of the Torah. So He already had this concept of Tochtei Dibor, that the basic unit of life is 3 seconds, and therefore Hashem created our bodies and our the way we function to reflect that concept. And therefore He made all these actions, all these systems work in 3 second units. And He says, amazing, He said, let's say it wasn't like that. Let's say we didn't have this 3 second sort of, we go through life in 3 second intervals. He says, if we were instead much faster, right, if we process things very quickly, say 10 milliseconds, then we could react much more quickly to incoming stimuli, such as potential threats. Bullets would be as frightening to us as somebody throwing a ball at us, because we would actually be able to react to a bullet if we had that quick reaction time, right?
Yeah, that's
so obviously in that regard, probably is a good thing, because we'd be able to avoid, you know, Matrix, whatever, avoid bullets. But on the other side, whereas if you lived in 1 minute duration periods, there's an awful lot of things that can happen in the natural world that we just wouldn't be able to respond to, right? So it's amazing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world and our bodies and the way we function in these, that we sort of function in 3 second time intervals, and that allows us to go throughout the world in a healthy way, right? Not too fast, not too slow. And that's the perfect balance for the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live the world. And that's... She's also Chazaka, yeah. Yeah, maybe that's part of it. So it's amazing. You just see that this concept of Tochtei Dibor actually manifests in the way we live our lives and the way our bodies actually work. So taking these two approaches, either the Ran's approach, that Tochtei Dibor is based on this idea that either we do most things without thinking or some things without thinking, but we have this ability to take it back or to view things, yeah, to take it back because we need a few seconds to process it after we do it. Or if you go with the Ramah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into creation this basic structure of 3 second intervals being basic units of time. Either way you cut it, we see the amazing concept of Tochtei Dibor. Mirz Hashem, we won't have to use it, right? Hopefully we will think out everything we do, everything we say. But we should appreciate it. We should appreciate the matana, the gift that Hashem gives us that allows us to take it back. And Mirz Hashem, we won't have to use it, and we'll think through all our actions and all our speech.
Amen. Shukran.
Yeah.